Good morning, good morning. Good morning, Marcella. Good morning, Yvonne. How you doing? I'm glad to see you. Guys, Yvonne is an answer to prayer. If you've been praying for her, I don't want to draw too much attention to you, but I want everyone to know you. This is Yvonne over here. She's with Jim and Janie, and yeah, thank you. We're glad you can be a part of us today, and not to put anyone else down, we're glad you're here too. Oh, goodness, guys. How many times have we sang those songs? But I don't know about you, does it ever hit you sometimes when you hear the words of that and you're like, I've never felt more like that, maybe until today. And the words of that song are even more true for you when you realize that, what can I do but stand in Christ? He is my rock, my foundation. It's in Him that I trust. We have nothing else in this world that we can truly rely on, truly count on for anything, because this world has plenty of tough things for us, doesn't it? How many of us got a promise of comfort and ease? Nobody. If you did, they're selling you something that they can't deliver on. God has promised us that those days are coming, but that before then, it's going to be tough. And I love this scripture passage because God is honest with us. Does He ever blow, just kind of send rainbows and fluffy clouds your way and say, it's going to be fine? No, He tells you straight, this is going to be tough, but He says, I won't abandon you in it. I won't leave you alone in it. Ask me, seek me, draw near to me. I will get you through. Guys, if you were a Jew thousands of years ago fleeing an army, you know how we joke around a little bit about our president saying, what do you think you can do against us? We got F-15s and nuclear bombs. Well, people, the Pharaoh of Egypt for his day had the most advanced army in the world, and they were chasing a group of slaves. Who's greater, Pharaoh's army or God? Who's greater, the United States Air Force or God? I love our service people. I'm just saying, guys, it don't matter what age you're in. It does not matter what the forces that the enemy plans for our destruction have against us. Remember when it says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper? Guys, it doesn't matter if it's a sickle. It doesn't matter if it's a sword or a firearm or a nuclear weapon. The Lord God has promised that He will ultimately deliver those who are His. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. They had to walk that Red Sea, didn't they? Standing between two walls of water. And they had to hike to that mountain, and then they done messed up, didn't they? And they had to hike over to the edge of the Promised Land, and then 40 more years later of walking. Anybody else don't want to do that much walking? Man, I popped my knee out this morning walking down the stairs. I don't want to do any walking. I can't complain because that's my wife's problem. Her kneecaps have slid out so many times. She's had so many surgeries. When I'm like, oh, my knee pop. Oh, I really can't complain about that, can I? Neither can I complain about childbirth for obvious reasons. But what we can do is we can all relate to dealing with maybe persecution. Last week we talked about being a peacemaker and why it's so important. And why is peacemaking necessary? Go ahead and shout it out. I'm looking for. Why is peacemaking necessary? Because we're currently in a state of war. Now, are we at war? Yeah, there's a spiritual warfare going on, right? Now, we didn't start the fire. Not a Billy Joel reference. Speaking of which, isn't that some crazy stuff, man, that there's like, I don't know about you guys watching the news, how many arsonists have been arrested in our county? I watched one of them happen. I was like, why is it slow traffic? Watched a sheriff pull around me and grab a guy out of the brush over there. It looks like he was a guy starting one of them fires. I'm like, wow, okay. So by the grace of God, man, we are blessed. I don't care what you say, guys. We've seen a lot of stuff in our day. And it's not to say that, I don't even know. You know, it's almost like at this point you're like, God, why are you blessing us? Because there's fires seeming like have been on all of our sides. You'd be even up here. We're blessed. Could be tomorrow that we all have to go. But you know what? God has given us a great gift of grace. Can we say thank you? Thank you, Lord. We don't want to be ready to move, but by the grace of God, He kept us safe. So we praise Him for it. We don't know when that day will come, just like there's other Christians in the world that have to deal with stuff. But we know that peacemaking is essential. Because there are still people who are actively at war with God, who have sided with Satan against him in sin and have said, God, I do not want your offering of peace. And remember, who offered peace first? Was it us going, God, we're so sorry. Oh, we were so wrong. What did we do in the garden, by the way? The first thing we did we go, oh, no, that was that one rule. Help! No, we ran and hid. We made fig leaves covering us, right? Let's make some fancy underwear and then we'll hide in the bushes. Almighty God who made everything in 6 days is not going to know. Did God know? Yeah, some people said, why did God ask where Adam was? It's like, man, you're a parent, you know. How many of us go up going, did you do this? You know they did. You know, I know when my kids got chocolate on their face. Did you eat the cookie? No, it ate itself unto me. You like that on some cultures? They have like a fatalistic way. No, it did itself unto me. I didn't do that. But no, it says we know and he knows. I'm yelling. I don't mean to yell. He knows when we done messed up. And he was the one to extend an offering of peace. What did he do? Took a knife and he made some skins to cover them up, because from a sacrifice of blood, it is needed to cover your sins. And it points to the day when Jesus would do it himself. He said, I am the first one who's going to offer you. That was a promise of peace that was to come. And the promise came in the person of Jesus Christ. And he gave the one ultimate sacrifice. How many of y'all could say once for all? Once for all. Say it again, please. Once for all. It's been paid. How many of you have ever incurred a bill and then you found out it was already paid? Anybody else happy? I would love to look at my credit card statement and see a zero balance. Somehow someone has paid it. That would be wonderful. Whenever we look at something and say, oh my goodness, I know y'all have been blessed by God though, in another way you didn't expect. And he took care of things that, quite frankly, I don't want to say this in the wrong way, he had no business taking care of, meaning it was not his fault. My fault. My spending. Aubrey's going, amen, you preach it, it's on you. You didn't talk to me before you bought that thing. Just joking, obviously. Regardless of levity, the point is that God didn't owe us anything. And he extended an offering of peace anyways. That's the love of God. That's the grace of God, the mercy of God. And it's something we have to remember. Because we talked about last week that mountain of the Beatitudes, looking at the progression of faith in a believer, and at the same time a reality in every Christian. If we're in Christ, we have to recognize those as just truths of who Christians are. We have to be poor in spirit. We have to mourn over our sin. We have to be meek towards others. We need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. We go through every step of this, and what's the last one, guys? Once we come back down off that mountain and we get into the final parts, we read in Matthew 5, verse 10, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kind of evil against you because of me. Rejoice. And be glad. Anyone else find that ironic? Hey, guess what? Blessed are you when people are... And that word persecute, we always kind of look at it like, oh, that means I'm doing good and something bad's happening because of that. Yeah, it kind of means that. There's even more in that word that means almost like someone is actively hunting you down. Anybody else ever been hunted actively? I hope not. Tell me your story if you have. There you go. It means people are coming after you. I mean coming. Not just like, eh. People are gunning for you. And then it says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way, they also persecuted the prophets who were before you. Point one I want you to write down on your notes today is prepare for persecution. That's the top line. Underneath it, be fully blessed. We need to walk into these situations knowing that God has blessing planned. That does not mean, and you know this, I'm not sitting here telling you that, don't worry, because this is going to happen. you're just going to get $1 million. You're just going to get everything you want. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that those who undergo these things are blessed and will be blessed. Because you and I, guys, we said it before. Dennis, I didn't mean to contradict, but you asked the question, how can a world live without Christ? And I just said plainly, they can't. They can't. Who is upholding all things by His own power? That's the Lord, guys. None of us would be here outside of the power of God that is sustaining creation and being. If you're here, it's because God wants you here. That's it. You know, when Scripture, when it talks about in Romans chapter 1 about God allowing people, in a sense, to run off, to carry on after the ways of their heart and mind, when they have rejected Him, they refused to worship Him, although they knew God, they neither worshiped Him nor gave Him glory, and He gave them over. Guys, have you ever held your kid back from a busy intersection? Man, I tell you ever held your kid back when they are reaching for the knives in the dishwasher? Have you held that hand trying to grab the hot stove? Guys, God is actively holding humanity back from what they could do. It is the grace of God that is limiting evil in the world. Folks, it could be a lot worse. It could be a lot worse. But by the grace of God. Not that we should say, you know, that thing, you know, cheer up, you know, things could be worse. And sure enough, you know, I cheered up and things got worse, right? This is not just a message like it's not really, things could be worse, so stop your whining. No. We had a funeral yesterday for a dear brother who passed. Yeah, I'm happy that he's in heaven with Jesus. I am not happy that I'm on earth without him. That's selfish. That is selfish. Some of my tears were for just, that's my friend and it hurts. But you know what? I'm happy for him. Oh, he loved Jesus. Guys, he got it good now. I still love hearing that story. I've said it before about a man, a pastor, who was brokenhearted over his wife's passing. And he prayed and she came back and she said, why did you do that? I was home with my Lord. She recalls seeing the Lord. And then the Lord saying, your husband is praying for you and I'm going to send you back now. No! The husband was wondering why she was upset. I don't want to bring Michael Cook back. That sounds horrible to say it that way. Michael Cook was our director of missions who passed suddenly in the last couple weeks. He was a dear friend and a brother. That guy lived in our mission house for about a year. I shared a little bit at the ceremony yesterday about how Michael, when he would know I needed something or was struggling, would call me, would come down and be there. If he saw the light on late at night, he'd be like, hey, you working on seminary stuff? Yeah. You talk to somebody? Then he'd come down and bring a bunch of food, and he would sit with me in the middle of the night and just talk, encourage me. He was a real friend. That guy was a wonderful man of God. Nobody's perfect, and I don't say that because I want to beat him up. I can't think of really things I can tell you that are bad about him. It's just a preface. You all know it's true of all of us, right? Some are just a little less perfect than others. But he was a great man of God, and we are at a loss for his absence. But how many of y'all know God can make others like him? Let's be praying for the next people to rise up, for him to do that kind of work in us so we can have a testimony like that for people. Because right now, guys, we need to understand that God has a blessing in mind for every single one of us who are his. He says, guys, I'm going to take care of this. You know, something I want to focus on a little bit in here, and you guys have some blanks. It says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, right? You might have that blank in your first thing, blessed, persecuted for righteousness. How many of y'all know that there is a whole lot that we can be persecuted for? There's people who come to hunt me down, and it's not because of my righteousness. But there's a special blessing attached to this. How many of y'all know that the righteousness that we have to deal with, sometimes it's just positional? How many of you all have been persecuted because of affiliation with somebody or something? I think we can all relate to that. How many of you have been, let's say, have you been persecuted for a political position? Anybody? All y'all are crazy who ain't raising your hands, but that's fine. How many of you have been maybe persecuted a little bit because of your family, who you're related to? Someone judges you a little bit or treats you different because of who you're related to. I think we all can understand that sometimes it's guilt by association. We can be looked at with a label. How many of you all know that right now, and I'm sure you've heard it on the news and you've read it, that the Taliban has been going door to door looking for Christians in their houses, checking cell phones, seeing if you have a Bible app, any evidence that might say, man, you ever look on your phone when your kid's handed back to you and you've got 10 apps you didn't download or pay for? And you're like, what did you do? You said I could play games. I said you could play the game, not download a bunch of new ones. But those people, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, when I was in school and they gave us iPads when they first came out, had a wonderful teacher I worked with. He was a very nice man, but he wasn't too tech savvy, so he didn't know how to lock and secure that stuff. So when he gave his granddaughter his iPad, which had been given the credit card, he all of a sudden looked and she says, Grandpa, I'm done. I can't do any more on this. And he goes, why? Because it was full. She bought so many games that the iPad was done. And then he had to call Apple to deal with the bill that was many hundreds of dollars for a little $3.99, $3.99, $3.99, $5.99, $10.99, big one, $2.99. She filled up that iPad. We all know what that's like getting that back. But we understand that sometimes just by affiliation, by the people we're around, we can have trials and troubles. But how many of y'all know, I know a lot of times we are most persecuted spiritually in things we might not be able to see, but then also in reality because of our affiliation with Jesus. Can I get an amen for that? No one wants to say amen about their persecution, right? Amen! Persecute! Yay! We say because we know Christ, but this is the great thing about it too. Who is our righteousness? Is Jesus. My righteousness is like what? Filthy rags from the midden heap. Rotten things. You guys all had that one washcloth or rag in the sink that you don't even want to touch. You're like, oh, how long has that been there? I don't even want to wash it. Just throw it away. When I think of, and I know that the filthy rags in Scripture mean something different, but when I think of a nasty rag, that's what I think of. It's that slimy, nasty dish rag you should have thrown out a long time ago. You put it in bleach, and the bleach screams, ah, get it out! You know? My righteousness is that compared to His. And He says, I will give you my righteousness. I will consider you righteous. Not with your kind of righteousness, with mine. Because of trust. Faith. You trust me. I'm going to consider you righteous. And it's that kind of righteousness that the enemy, the real enemy, who's behind the Taliban, folks, in that persecution of Christians? Satan. Who's behind the persecution of Christians outside the Taliban? Satan. Yeah, you sound like Dana Carvey's church lady right there. Could it be Satan? Yeah. He's doing a lot of work. Now, I don't want to give him all the credit because sometimes other people are just doing their own thing, too. Can we be persecuted by people just because they don't like Jesus? Sure. Absolutely. We understand that, again, sometimes we are just guilty by affiliation. But you know what? I hope that you and I are not just guilty of being affiliated with Christ, but being active for Him, too. Right? There's one thing to complain about. Oh, I'm being persecuted because I have a Christian email address, or somebody saw my bumper sticker and egged my car. But if I'm persecuted for actually doing acts of righteousness, for not just being affiliated with Jesus, but being like Him, doing His work, being the hands and feet of Jesus, that's something different. If I want to be persecuted, I hope I'm persecuted that way, because it means I'm probably doing something right. Y'all know we can be persecuted for doing something wrong. We want to be persecuted for doing something right because Christian righteousness is also active. Sometimes my righteousness isn't so active. Sometimes my heart can be insensitive to certain things. Man, time goes fast, doesn't it? The second point in your subpoint in there, blessed personal picture of persecution, triple P. Being blessed sometimes is a personal picture. He said, blessed are those at first. I think it was intentional when he says, blessed are you. When people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. But here's it where it comes back. Because of me. People say sticks and stones break my bones, right? Words can never hurt me. How many of y'all know that's a bunch of bunk? Oh boy, I tell you. Man, I've been, you know, hit before and other things. And everybody knows. I'm not trying to compare the two things. We all know that there are serious abuse on all kinds of sides. But in my personal life, sometimes, although it hurt me when I got hit, it hurt me when I was assaulted by other people. I'm not going to get into details and talk about who did it and what family member this or that. But man, I know not like some of you. I've had some abuse. And I've been hurt. And those things stink. But you know what? It wasn't the punch that got me. It was, why would they? Why do they not love me? That hurts a lot more. And that sticks with you, doesn't it? What did I do? Who am I? There's a lot of things that we can be hurt with a lot more than those physical things. Not that they don't matter. Not that they don't create their own deep scars. But even them, it's not just a physical thing. There's heart behind it. And you ask, what's in that heart to make you do that? Why would you do that? Guys, sometimes we take those things because of our affiliation and our righteousness for Jesus. But here's the response. If I really am being persecuted for my righteousness, not my filthy rag, dish rag righteousness, for my actions for Jesus Christ, if I'm being persecuted for being like Him, respond with rejoicing. Rejoice and be glad. Respond with rejoicing, your third point there. For great is your reward in heaven, right? Anybody ever stumble over the first words out of James's mouth in his letter? James, an apostle, servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Greetings to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. Then he goes, okay, great, he's got a greeting. First thing, count it all joy, brothers. When you meet trials of various kinds, and you say, oh, James, you dirty dog. Right out of the gate, you didn't even soften us up with more nice things. Paul would go on sometimes, oh, greetings for you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, grace and peace be to you. And we love you. We've been praying for you. We've been raising money for you guys. And by the way, you done messed up. He buttered you up before he dropped some bombs. James just starts off, consider it pure joy, brethren. When you meet or encounter trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Depends on your Bible version, but spit it out if you could. Ooh, ESV, steadfastness, I heard that. Endurance, how about perseverance? That's my favorite, that's a King James word, I think. Check me on that one, you KJV guys. Perseverance, keep on going. Steadfast, endure. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let it have its full, complete, perfect effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So if God needs to take us to the gym to work us out, what is He going to allow in our lives? The testing of your faith. So, ouch! So you know what I can only do, because it's more than once commanded in Scripture. He says, be happy about that. If you're being challenged and pushed, be joyful about it. Y'all know I'm preaching this, but I have a harder time living it, right? This is where I just want to be affiliated with that Scripture. I don't want to be walking in that kind of righteousness because of myself, and it's hard. How many of you all know, guys, that we have stuff that we just can't handle? How many of you guys have things in your life right now that you cannot handle? I don't know if sometimes we can't even handle rejoicing and be glad, right? Oh, I'm praise the Lord, the fire got our house. Praise the Lord, I have been punished at work. Guys, we got people in here that may lose their jobs very soon because of their religious viewpoint on issues. I ain't been persecuted like that yet. You guys haven't kicked me out for preaching Jesus yet. Thank you. Some people have and are going to have that because of their convictions. I haven't had that kind of persecution yet. I have been blessed by God that at times in employment where I've been told specifically, we looked at your resume and we saw you've been a pastor. Don't talk to anybody about Jesus. You know what that feels like when you get to somewhere and you're kind of like, Lord, I'm going to be honest about it. I'm not going to go out of my way to point stuff out. But I've had bosses tell me that. Don't you ever do that. And then you pray to God, you brought me here. And now this is there. How do I walk in this? I've also seen sometimes God change the heart of those people who hired me and told me to shut my mouth. And sometimes they look at me and kids say, I showed you before, right? Kids say, hey, Mr. Lane, what do you think about Jesus? I look at my boss and say, I can tell him. The funny thing is I was a little smart one time and they said, you can't do that. And I said, that's funny because you can't tell me that. Because I know if I'm asked, I'm allowed to give an answer, an education. At least right now you can do that. That might be changing. But I didn't want to be snarky to my new boss, right? So I'm just like, I'm going to keep it quiet. But I did later kind of say, well, I am permitted to do this. I don't want to step on your toes. And I do not mean to undermine your authority. But there are certain rights and rules I have. And I will do my best to respect that. But I also need to respect my faith. You know what? My boss was actually cool with that. You may not have a boss like that. I'm glad my boss was cool with that. And my boss sometimes would let me preach to those kids for 30 or 40 minutes. Because she looked at it and said, you know what? Maybe they need to hear that right now. You go ahead. I don't know how, because a lot of other people got fired there for preaching. Maybe people are watching right now and they're like, darn it, we didn't know he did that. We should have fired him a long time ago. I don't know, but God gave grace in the moment at times to lift me up. It's like, think about Paul being in jail for the preaching of Jesus Christ. People were mad that he kept preaching in the name of Jesus. And every time someone new came around, they brought Paul out to do what? Well, Paul, bring up your case again. And he preached again. You ever think it's funny? Anybody ever gone to jail, you know, and then the cops keep wanting you to commit the same crime they arrested you for? That doesn't happen a lot. But God has a way to bring things about in the midst of persecution to bring about his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So that's why we need to trust in this. Point two on there, the main one, prepare for persecution, be full of Jesus. Be full of Jesus. You guys, in the sections, you're going to look at the scriptures. There's lots of people who have been just full of the Lord, full of the Spirit, empowered by God for ministry. I want to talk about Stephen. Think about Stephen. When the Church of Acts was dealing with their own social issues, and they said, we need servants. Find men full of the Spirit and wisdom. We need folks like this. Acts 6:5 says, the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. You might realize that's part of the first blank you have on there, full of faith in the Holy Spirit, right? Folks, the first thing we can do, because I don't know about you, but we're probably all going through some stuff that you and I can't handle. How many of you can handle a hasty withdrawal out of Afghanistan and the persecution of tens of thousands or more Christians? Anybody got that one? If you do, get over there and do your job. If you don't, we better be praying to the Lord God who can intervene for these things. Anybody else can handle losing their job right now? Anybody else? And I know people in here have lost loved ones. I don't think anybody can handle that. We need to lean on the strength of God ever more daily, because we can't handle it. I can do all things through who? Absolutely. I can do all things through Christ. And he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Not no good thing, not just some things. He says, apart from me, you can do nada. Zip, zero, zilch. You need me, he says. Just to do anything. We need Jesus more and more, like singing the songs of In Christ Alone, and I realize, here on Christ I stand. This is it. And it means more because you realize, I never thought so much could be taken away from me. Maybe you've had your body taken away, your ability, your health. Maybe you feel like your heart has been stripped out of your chest, that you've lost so much. Folks, they say you don't know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. Sometimes that's really a true statement, and I think we learn in degrees to trust on it more, because nothing in this world will prepare me for the stuff that's coming. I need Jesus. My own wisdom will fail me. My plans may not succeed, but my Lord will never forsake me. Everything else that is going to be leaned on will fall away. How many of y'all know everything in this world we trust on is going to be ashes at one point? Not just a burned house. Governments will fall. Currencies will become worthless. Even our enemies will one day themselves, and I use enemies loosely, even enemies in the flesh, those who seek our lives will also one day be put under. Anything in this world that I lean on or fear from will one day go away. But the Lord will never go away. And He said, I don't want you to do that either. You can be with me. By trusting in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for the sins of the world, we can be counted with His righteousness, not my dishrag righteousness. But does that mean it's an easy walk? No. Looks like we're doing half a sermon today. That's okay. I think we made it about 50% through. Let's praise God, Pastor noticed, because it's a lunch day. Let's do this, folks, because there's a lot to be said about the persecution and needing God for everything that we have. I know y'all know this. Let's close our eyes and pray for a moment. Father God, so far in the Scriptures, I hope that we can bring about an understanding. I hope, forgive me, that You can bring about in my mind and the minds of others, in their hearts and mine, that we would have an absolute dependence in the midst of real persecution. Because as the labor pains of the world grow closer together, I said earlier, I don't know what it's like to have birth. So I imagine that Scripture I may not be able to relate to enough. But all I can say is that if it's greater than any hurt I can imagine, Lord, the entire world groaning in pain, creation itself, longing for the redemption of the saints, of the work that You are doing, for its completion. Lord, would You make us ready? May we recognize that in the midst of it, You have a blessing for us that is at the same time present now and a future blessing, that You have promised those who are persecuted for righteousness, for Your righteousness, that we will be blessed and the kingdom of heaven will be ours, that we'll be with You there. We need to be full of You right now, that we would be filled, I pray, by the Holy Spirit for the works of the kingdom, the work that You have planned long in advance. Lord God, You said in Joel that there would be days when Your Spirit would be poured out upon all flesh. I don't know if that's today, or that sometimes in history, like at the Acts chapter 2, if that was it. But I do know that the Holy Spirit lives in all believers, and we need You without mixture to give us power beyond what we can do, because without You we can do nothing. And we must lean on You to do all things. Lord, give us the strength. Give us also the mind to seek You, to ask, to seek, to knock, to look for You right now, because there is a world around us that is desperately in need of You. Prepare us by You, the strength of Your Spirit. Fill us, Father, for Your work, I beg You. Pour out Your Spirit upon Your people. Pour out Your Spirit, please, Father God, upon this church and upon Yours, so that we would be strengthened and we would work for You. We know that that will not make tribulation go away, and it will not make persecution end, but You will strengthen Your people to endure it and to be like Stephen, as we'll talk about more, I hope, in the future, next week. But until then, we give you our all. God, we beg you in prayer, fill us with your Spirit, that we would be ready to face the trials of a world that is broken. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.